praise God tonight. Amen. We're going to finish up our study of Moses. Amen. It's been a study in leadership. And Moses is such a central character in the Bible. And it's good for us to study him and his life, his relationship with God. He was very close to God. God himself said that I speak to Moses in a way that's different than the way I speak to everybody else at this time. Amen. But there's a lot that we learned from their relationship. And so we're going to finish up tonight. We had left off last week. I believe we had either gotten up to or question five. Or we had answered question five. Well, we'll start with it anyway. And then we'll move on from there. Let's pray tonight, and then we'll look at the scriptures from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 through 13. Well, let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks right now in the name of Jesus. We praise you for your goodness, O God. We praise you for your loving kindness, your tender mercies. We praise you, God, for your faithfulness. Yes. We thank you, God, for bringing us here on tonight. And now that we're here, God, we ask that you will speak by your Spirit. Yes. And, Father, teach us those things that we need to know. Father, we are open and ready to receive from you, O God, all the wisdom you have for us, all the insight you have, all the revelation that you have. Because, Father, it is our desire to be better, to be more like you. So, Father, pour out of your Spirit tonight. Touch our hearts, transform our minds. And Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks in advance by faith because we believe you shall do it. So to you we give glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so let's look at the scriptures and then we'll go back to our questions as we finish out our study on Moses. And the title of our lesson tonight is Passing the Baton. So it's Moses passing on the leadership mantle to Joshua. So Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning at verse 1, it says this. It says, And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy the nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that he may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear thee not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God. And observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land, whither ye go over Jordan, to possess it. Amen.
Amen.
So, final instructions. Joshua is appointed as the one who's going to bring the people over into the promised land. Moses is saying, I'm not the one who's going over with you. And he's also saying, don't forget the law. Don't forget what you've been taught and make sure you teach it to the people. So, there's a transition, right? And life is full of transitions, right? You know, personally, we transition from one stage to another, newborn babies, toddlers, right? Preschoolers, then you go to school, then you go to middle school, high school, college, maybe, job, adult. Then you're young and vibrant, you're in your prime, then you get to middle age, then you get old, right?
Yeah.
And you've got to transition. And when it's time to move from one spot to another, you got to be ready to move. Because if you're not, something's going to go wrong. If you're supposed to move from baby to toddler, but you still want to be baby, something's wrong. Right? And same way, if you need to go from, you know, adolescent to adult, and there's a lot of people do this, they stay adolescent.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't fit. You got to be ready to move with the transition. And with God, there's transitions too, where in leadership and in organizations and families and churches, that it's time for whoever was out front to either go to the back, go to the side, and somebody else to come up front.
Yes.
And if that's not done, it could be a problem. So there's a transition going on, and Moses is accepting of it because he says in verse number 2, he said, listen, I'm 120 years old. I can't lead you guys anymore. All right, so we were at question 5 last week. I think we ended there, but let's just start there and we'll finish on through. It says, Joshua succeeds Moses as the national leader. And focusing on verses 7 and 8, it says, what are his primary responsibilities? What's Joshua's charge? Plain and simply, he's charged to do what?
Pick up where Moses left off. Lead.
Yeah, he's got to lead him into the promised land.
Lead him into the promised land. Moses would lead him around the wilderness. So Joshua had a different charge. It was his charge to lead them across the Jordan into the promised land.
Okay.
So that was his charge. Moses led them out of Egypt, but Joshua was the one who now was given the authority and the charge to lead them into the promised land. And once they get to the promised land, he was to give them their inheritance. Because God promised them land. Mm-hmm. And he was the one that was going to give them their inheritance. What wisdom or skills do you think he learned from watching Moses lead? What skill do you think he picked up? He watched Moses all these years serving God.
Praying.
Praying. Yeah, he saw Moses pray more than a couple of times.
Teaching.
Okay.
Listen.
Listening.
Listening. To God.
To God. Yeah. He had to be listening to God, right? Because he would go up on the mountain, he'd come back down, and he would tell the people what God said.
In obedience.
Anything else? Brandon?
Joseph?
Yeah, patience. Those people were something else.
Yeah.
Always complaining. We want meat. We're thirsty. Why we had to come out here? Always complaining. Here's one I think that God, that Joshua more than likely saw in Moses, because God identified it as a characteristic of Moses. Humility.
Yeah.
Because Because when God said that Moses is the meekest man on earth, he's talking about Moses being humble. And so I think, you know, when you see someone being humble and you realize that God has a special relationship with them and you can see him, that person moving and prospering and going forward, you should conclude, hey, that's something that's important.
Yeah.
Especially for a leader. Leaders need to be humble. Was Jesus humble?
Yes.
Right? That's what the Bible said. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was humble.
Yes.
If you're going to be a leader for God, you have to be humble. You can't be, you know, you can't be bold. When I say bold, I don't mean like, you know what I mean? You can't be proud.
Right.
You can't be beating your chest. There's no leader of God, Christian, who's going to be doing this. Nobody's going to be doing that after they preach.
I hope not.
Nobody's going to be doing that. After you preach, after you do something for God, you're just thankful that you had the opportunity to do it. So humility is important. So I believe Joshua learned all these things that you said, how to pray, patience, how to obey, teaching people, being humble. You can see there's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of different characteristics. If you think about it, you know, in order to teach, you got to have some confidence. You got to study. You got to apply yourself, you know, to pray. You got to sacrifice your time, right? I mean, when Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, what were the people doing? They were down there partying. Yeah. You know, if you're going to be dedicated to God, you're going to have to forego some of those good times.
Yeah.
Some people don't want to do that. They want all the good times they can get, and then some. So watch this. There's no time to pray. There's no time to read. There's no time to do these things. But where does that show up? Where does the time spent or not spent with God show up?
In your life.
Amen. It shows up in your life. And you can't fake it. You can't fake it. Oh, you can try to tell some people, oh no, I'm doing this, I'm doing that.
Mm-mm.
What did Jesus say? A tree? If you're supposed to be an orange tree, you're supposed to have some big fat oranges on you, and all you got is some little things like this, we don't.
Yep.
Right? So, there's no substitute. There's just no substitute for time spent with God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And God is looking for those who are willing to, you know, you have to give up some things in order to put the time in. Let's look at question number 6. As with the nation, Moses encourages Joshua to be strong and courageous. In what ways can fear inhibit a leader? What's one of the biggest things? If you're afraid, anybody here ever been afraid?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the things fear does to us. Joseph, what does fear do to somebody?
Run.
Fear does to somebody. What does fear do to them?
Makes them run.
Say?
Makes them run.
Makes them run. Okay. What else? What else does fear do?
Paralyzes you.
Paralyzes you. Now notice those are two different things.
Yeah.
Because running is this paralyzing?
Yeah.
I remember when I was a boy, I used to be, and I still don't like it, but I was afraid of dogs. And not every dog. There had to be a certain size of a dog. And where we grew up, there were strays all over the place. And, you know, I remember sometimes I'd be walking, I see a dog, I'd just be walking, I'd sit up. I was just stopping my tracks. Because I was so afraid. And, you know, but if I thought I was at a safe distance, I wouldn't run. But if he was too close, I'd just freeze up. Isn't that something?
Wow.
You know what I mean? Because fear, what do you call that thing? I don't know if you probably know that thing, when you take flight, what do they call that?
Fight or flight? No, not that.
But it's like, you know, it's our reaction. It's our mental
reaction.
Yeah, that defense mechanism where, you know, you just wanna flee. So yeah, so fear, sometimes we just want to get up on out of there. Right? Men, you know, sometimes, even women, may be scared to make a commitment in marriage. So what do? They want to run. Right? They want to flee. They don't want to stay on the scene. Why? Because it's the idea of commitment scares them. They want to get out of there. You know? Other things, you know, there's a, you know, you have to give a speech before 300 people, and you get up there and you lose your place. You don't know what to say. Your tongue gets dry. You start stammering, right? You get stuck. Fear paralyzes, right? Fear paralyzes. Sometimes we want to run away from things that we're fearful of. And if you're a leader, what does that do? Talking about fear. If the leader is fearful, the people are going to get discouraged. Now think about it. Think about, you know, your kid or your teenager, your wife, you know, right? And let's just say the bills start to come in the house. You know, bills are piling up. And the man in the house comes and he goes, I don't know how we're going to pay these bills. I don't know what we're going to do. Kids watching him. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to make it. What do you think that's going to do to the whole house? They're going to look at that and go, man, if he's falling apart, it must really be bad. So then they start falling apart. That's why I think one of the things leaders have to do, if they're strong, in the midst of problems, they got to stand strong and stand firm. Because they have to understand something. Other people are watching me. And here's the thing. If you don't want that, then don't try to be a leader. But people are going to be reading you like a book. They're going to be watching to see, okay, stuff is getting hard. How is he going to respond? How is she going to respond? And when you stand there and you're still firm, you're still confident, you're still strong, you're still standing in faith, man, that can energize the people behind you. But fear can inhibit a leader because it can discourage not only him, but discourage other people too. Now, what about, it says, when have you experienced fear in your leadership and how did you handle it? Remember, we're leaders in all kinds of ways, right? So, you're a leader in your home, you're a leader on your job, you're a leader in the church, you're a leader in the community, you're a leader in the volunteer group that you're a part of. You ever experienced fear in any of those situations?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then, how did you handle it?
Of late, I just did it to overcome it. But in the past, I froze.
Okay. Anybody else? Nobody else ever been afraid in here? Okay, Brent, so how'd you deal with it?
Just do it.
Just do what?
Whatever it is. Suck it up and do it. That's
the
only way to get past it.
No, Joseph said you can run.
But that's not getting past it. You're still afraid.
Yeah, but that could be the way you handled it. I'm out of here. I'm going shopping. Oh, What should we do without fear?
Turn it over to God.
What does that mean? How do we do that? How would we do that? Like, for people who aren't in the church, right? What does that mean? Turn it over to God. What does that mean?
Well, you can ask God to help you and say, God, help me with this fear. Yeah. I don't want to be afraid anymore. And ask God to help you and His presence will come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. We can ask God to help us. We can, confess His word, right? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Right? We can confess that and say, I know you haven't given me the spirit of fear. So if I'm afraid, that means the devil is trying to do this to me, and I resist it in the name of Jesus. You know what I mean? Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Right? And when you're fearful, you don't have peace.
No.
Your mind is racing, your heart is troubled. But Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives you peace, do I give you peace. And then he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Right? Mm-hmm. So if he said that, then you could rehearse those words and say those words and speak those words over your life. Mm-hmm. But the word of God is powerful. Right?
Yeah.
You speak the word of God, and the word of God will go to work in our lives. And so part of it is we have to, we ask God for help, but we got to realize that the Bible is our help too.
Amen.
Right? And we can speak this word over us. Right? And here's the other thing. One of the reasons why we get afraid is because we think, we look at our limitations. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. And it may be true that I can't do it, you can't do it. Maybe we're not good at it. Maybe we don't have experience at it or whatever. But here's the thing. We're not by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if we remember that God is always with us and that God will help us, then that should help dispel the fear. I know plenty of people when I was growing up that we would play in the schoolyard and stuff, and you just got into skirmishes. That was back in the day where it wasn't about weapons. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You fought with your hands. And I know there were plenty of guys on the schoolyard who you could push around. Because after a while. you play it off. You know what I mean? And who will back down or whatever. And there's a hierarchy that develops in the school. You know who the tough guy is, who to leave alone. You know who the other guy is. I think I can take him. The other guy goes, nah, I ain't messing with him. You sort of know. And so those guys who and then, they're the ones on the lower end of the pole, but it's always funny that, sometimes they would, they get the worst of an encounter, and then they go get their brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Their older brother. And the older brother show up. And not only does it change us, it changed the kid who got the worst of the thing. Now he's tough. Mm-hmm. He's tough now. When he comes back, this is my dude. See, he wasn't talking like that before. Right? And now he got mouth wide, but his brother is standing there with him.
Right.
But see, but the Bible said that Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And if we realize that our big brother is always with us, we won't be afraid either. But part of the thing is that we think, how am I going to do this? How am I going to get out of this mess? How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to send my kid to school? See, when we start doing that, we're acting as if we're alone. And we're not. And then we realize, wait a minute. That's why God said it here so many times. He said, and Moses told him, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He's always with you. So if he's always with you, you got to act like he's always with you. Right? Believe that he's always with you. And know that, as you said earlier, he will help you. That'll help get you past that fear. But what does that take? That takes faith. Because you're believing in God and His presence and His goodness and His strength and in His power and in His love for you to work on your behalf.
Yes.
That takes faith, though. Because when you get up after praying or asking God or reading or whatever, if the bills were giving you a headache, those bills are still there.
Yeah.
Not yet, anyway, right? When you first get up, they're still right there. Okay, number 8. The land and the law are central to the life of Israel. How are they related to each other? The land and the law. Let's start with the land. Who did the land belong to? According to God's word.
It belonged to them, the Israelites.
Right. God promised them the land.
Yes.
That's why it's called what?
The promised land.
Thank you. Right?
Yeah.
God promised them the land, which is why it's called the promised land. Amen. So the land was promised to them. The land belongs to them. God decreed it. This land is yours. Okay, so that's the land. The land belongs to the people. But what about the law? What was the law? What was God doing through the law?
Setting order.
Yep. For? Yep.
Not the land.
Huh? Yes. What he was doing was he was setting an order for them when they would go to live in the land. He was preparing them. Right? Because he wanted them to go into that land and to live a certain way. How many of you know God does the same thing for you? That there are things in your life, it may not be land physically, but it's promised to you nonetheless. It's your promised land. God has some promises for you, and God will tell you, I'm going to do this thing, and then before He gives it to you, He starts working on you. Changing you so that you'll be prepared to go into your promise. And how many of you know, you can't go into your promise if you ain't prepared. You lose it. You lose it. You got to be prepared for your promise. And I believe sometimes people of God get messed up because God will speak something to them that's the promise, but they don't want to go through the stage necessary to prepare to go and lay hold of the promise. They just want it right now. But you're not ready for it. You're not ready for it. Want the promotion. God tells you, I'm going to elevate you. You want the promotion. But you're not ready for it. I know a lot of teenagers, I don't know a lot, but I know some who wanted to, they couldn't wait to drive. Right? But how many of you know you got to get ready to drive?
Oh, yeah.
You know, parents tell you, I give you a car, you graduate from high school. But you got to also show your mom and dad that you are responsible enough to handle the responsibility of a car.
Yes.
And then you agreed with your high school. Yeah, but you acted like a fool all the way through. And now you want me to give you keys to a car. You must be out of your mind. See that over there? It's a bicycle. Start riding. Right? Why? Because you have to show, you got to show your parent that you're responsible. People want raises on their job, but don't want to do the work. Don't want to learn. Don't want to follow instructions. talking this nonsense. Well, they pay me more, I work harder. No, you got it twisted and backwards.
Oh, yes.
You got to work harder, then you get paid more.
Yes. Amen.
There's a whole lot of people right now waiting to get paid more, brother, because they got that mentality.
Yeah. If you pay me more, I'll work harder.
Okay. You keep working at that low level. You're going to be out of a job soon. Much less not getting any raise. We got to show we're responsible. And if we got to do that, and we understand that in the natural realm, why do we think God is going to be any different with us?
Right.
And I don't believe sometimes, you know, that we generally, as people of God, fully understand that we need to live a life that's pleasing unto Him.
Yes.
Amen. This idea of doing what I want. You can't do what you want without consequences.
That's right.
But we should have in our heart, I want to please you, Lord. Right? The psalmist said, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. That's not right. I delight to do what you want me to do. No, there's so many people now. I'm ground. I love when people make pronouncements that they're grown. Or a man makes a pronouncement, I'm a man. And I'm glad you told me because I just knew you were. I thought you was a drum set. I'm a man. But we need to, we forget being grown, forget being this, forget being that. We should want to live a life that's pleasing to God.
Yeah, amen.
Right? And God lets us know what pleases Him. Obedience. Mm-hmm. Let's take off some things that please God. What pleases God? Obedience.
Faith.
What do you say?
Patience.
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
Worship.
What do you say?
Love.
Humility.
Worship.
Oh, you pointing at me now.
Yep.
What is
courage.
Humility.
Courage.
Humility.
Yeah.
Humility.
Prayer.
Prayer.
All
right. We ain't finished. Back to Joseph. Understanding what?
People.
Yeah.
Understanding.
Compassion. All right, we can get past. We might come back. You better think some more.
Compassion.
Mercy.
Self-control.
Forgiveness.
Fairness.
Faithfulness.
Helpfulness. It's funny.
Give me a word.
Yeah. There's one big one.
Respectful.
Yeah. Be respectful. Honoring, right? Your mother and father and things like that. There's a big one we leaving out.
What?
Big.
Believing.
They're believing. But that's called like faith. We said that a little bit. There's, huh?
Thankful.
Yes!
Oh,
you can't change that. You can't change that.
That's a big one.
Yes, that's a big one.
God is big on thankfulness. It pleases God.
Yes.
But all the things we said please God now, mm-hmm. Right? But thankfulness is a big one. Because when Jesus said, when he healed the 10 lepers, and only the one came back. Mm-hmm. What he said? He said,
"Wasn't there nine?"
He said, "There were ten of you. Where are the nine?" You want to know why only this one came? You want to know where the other ones were? Mm-hmm. That lets me know God looks for you to be thankful after He does something for you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And the Bible is full with all give thanks unto the Lord, right? God is worthy of thanks. So, we want to please God, right? And it just warms your heart when you know that, you know, you're doing something that God is pleased with. You sacrifice some of your time to give it to somebody who's in need. You go visit somebody in the hospital, even though you're a little bit tired and everything else, and you got all these things crushing in on you, but you still go and you travel to go see about somebody else.
Yes, amen.
God, He looks down on that. He's pleased with that. Amen. And we should want to please God. All right. Question number 9. What would be missing in both the Jewish and Christian religions if Moses had not written the first 5 books of the Old Testament? Let's think about what stories we wouldn't know about. The first 5 books. What stories would we not know about if the parting of the Red Sea? We wouldn't know anything about that. What else? Yeah.
Old Testament?
Well, the first 5. The first 5, which one would we not know? Like stories we wouldn't know. Like, so we wouldn't know the part of the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm. We wouldn't know Adam and Eve, story of creation.
We wouldn't know the story of creation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The 10th plague.
We wouldn't know about Noah. We wouldn't know about the 10 plagues.
That's right.
There was some of the stuff we wouldn't know about.
Wow.
We wouldn't know nothing about the flood and the building of the ark. So that, know what that would mean? There would have been none of that movie with that guy. What was that movie called?
Yeah, wrong anyway. No,
not that one. The guy who's funny. He built the ark.
Evan O'Mighty.
Yeah, there would be no Evan O'Mighty. Because we wouldn't know about it. Right? We wouldn't know about creation. We wouldn't know about Noah. We wouldn't know about the plagues. We wouldn't know about deliverance from Egypt.
That's right.
We wouldn't have 10 commandments. Think about it. If Moses didn't write these first 5 books.
Wow.
And those are just events. Then we wouldn't have a sense of who God is.
No.
You know what I mean? Because the first 5, well, I shouldn't say we wouldn't have a sense of, let me back that up. But it's helpful in seeing the first 5 books, of seeing how God is, how He relates to His people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the faithfulness that He has, because He makes promises to Abraham. Now, hundreds and hundreds of years later, He keeps them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't see that.
Right.
You know what I mean? We wouldn't see how He called Abraham out and speaks to Abraham. And how He cares for His people, how He is close to His people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when people say things like, you know, I don't like reading the Old Testament. The Old Testament, listen, the whole Bible is the Word of God. It's all valuable.
Yeah.
I heard somebody say last week or the week before, well, you know, we don't live under the Old Testament anymore. The Old Testament is done away with. And the person said, it was on the radio station, yeah, that's good. And the person who said that said, yeah, that's right, was a reverend. And I knew he knew better. But it was like he was just agreeing just to get the conversation to go on. I'm like, no, you just stop her.
Yeah, right. What are you talking about?
Because if Jesus came and we don't live under the Old Testament anymore, but Jesus came to fulfill the law.
He didn't do away with it.
He didn't do away with it. He fulfilled it. So yeah, we live under the New Testament. We have a better covenant with better promises, the writer of Hebrews says. Yes, it is. But Jesus fulfilled everything that God was calling for in the Old Testament. So in Him, right, when we believe in Him, that's why we take on all the benefits of all the promises God has made to His people. That's why we can go back to the Old Testament, look at a promise there, and we can claim that promise for ourselves. Because Jesus fulfilled the requirement for that promise to be made real in our lives.
Yeah.
But if the Old Testament didn't mean anything, then we shouldn't be preaching from it anymore. I don't want to get off subject with that kind of bothering. So the Old Testament, I mean, the first 5 books are very important. But it helps enrich our understanding of God. We have these dramatic events that, you know,
mm-hmm.
the flood, the plagues, all those things that we wouldn't have had otherwise. Number 10, Moses served both God and God's people as he led them toward the promised land. Thinking back over the studies in this guide, what did Moses do when his service to God put him in conflict with the service the people wanted from him? God is calling Moses to do a certain thing. The people wanted Moses to do something else. Right? So, for example, when the people said, giants in the land, they're too big for us and all that. I mean, you know, or they want to go back and they're crying and they're complaining. What did Moses always try to point them to?
God.
Yeah. That's what a leader should do. Always point the people to God. And Moses did that repeatedly. Always point the people to God. If you're going to be a leader and you're a God, you're a Christian, point people to God. Point them in. Because that's what people need to know. That's where their answers are. Mm-hmm. Right? Point them away from you and point them to God. You know, he would look to God. There were many times that Moses went on behalf of the other people. He went to God and prayed that God would forgive them. Mm-hmm. Remember when God was about to destroy them? He said, I'm going to wipe these people out and give you a people better than them. And God, and Moses went to God and said, God, don't do that. Because if you do that, the other nations are going to say, you brought them all this way and you couldn't bring them in. Don't do that. And God said, okay, Moses, I'm going to do as you asked. So there were times he interceded on behalf of the people. But how many of you know, leading people can be frustrating? Right? When you try to lead people, because people come in all shapes, sizes, colors, flavors, textures. You know what I mean? Because people do come in textures, you know. Some people are abrasive.
Like Sam.
Some people are smooth. Right? But people are complicated. And trying to lead people with all these different personalities and different moods and all these types of things is not an easy task. So if you're going to lead people, you need God's help. You need God's help and say, Lord, help me. I can only say how many times leading a family that I ask God to help me, because like my kids, ugh. What are you looking at your mother for? I'm sure she said the same thing about you. Lord, help me with that boy. He's just not listening. And you don't know how many times God spoke down from heaven and said to your mom, put the belt away. Put the belt away. Be patient with him.
Have mercy.
But that's the thing. Because think about it, even as a parent, how many times you have to go to God because, you know, how to try to deal with your kid.
Yeah.
Because they drive you to your wit's end. You don't know what to, and that's just one or two. Imagine you have millions of people to lead. Man, it could wear you out. You better know how to get in touch with God. So whether you have two, you have 200, you got 2,000, you need God to help you lead another human being. I don't care, you got one. It could be just you and your wife.
Yeah.
Am I telling the truth? You're going to need to be in touch with God to know how you should act in that situation. People are tough, man. We're tough, right?
Amen.
Amen. But praise God that he's there to help us, to guide us and lead us through these relationships, and to help us if we're in positions of leadership to make wise decisions and to give us ideas that we could not come up with on our own. Amen. All right, so based on these studies, question 11. What one or two principles of leadership do you think are most important to understand and live out in order to serve God well as a leader? We talked about a lot of them, but let's just close this out. What one or two principles of leadership do you think are most important to understand and live out in order to serve God well as a leader? Humility and obedience.
Discipline.
Discipline. Okay. Anybody else? Humility, obedience, discipline.
Faith.
Faith. Courage. Yeah. Yeah, courage. We last week we talked about courage a little bit. Just want to end here. Because strength too, strength and courage. Because God calls his people to be courageous. Because as we said before, to walk by faith, you have to have courage.
Yeah.
Because you're believing in the invisible. And you're going to have people around you who don't have your faith, who are going to be questioning you and pointing to all the things in the natural and saying to you and that you're being silly or criticizing you or whatever. And you have to believe in God. And many times believing in God means you have to be patient. Because the answer or the thing's not changing right away. But you have to be patient. And it takes courage to be able to stand up before people. And not that you're doing it for them, but to make a decision of faith and saying, I'm going to believe God on this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have his faithfulness and you have his, you know, he's trustworthy and he's true. But sometimes we don't always get it right. So we might be believing on something, but we've heard wrong. And so that can get a little, because you don't have any guarantee.
Right.
Anybody here ever heard God wrong?
Oh, yeah.
you just knew you heard him say it, or you misunderstood, you know, Brother Lester talking about his truck or whatever, where you said that you know, God has something released about a new truck, but then you went looking for one, and then you realized God never told you to look for one. So sometimes you hear, but the communication gets a little twisted a little where you still don't hear it precisely right.
Yeah.
But it takes courage to get out of the boat. It takes courage to step out into the unknown, believing in an invisible God.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So courage is and strength. Important for a leader. Leaders have to have courage and strength. Because if you don't, I mean, I don't know people who want to follow a timid, fearful leader. I'm not. Because the other thing, when the going gets tough, I'm going to look around for him and her, and they're going to be gone. They're going to be gone. No, you gotta have that strength where people know. No matter whatever come with me, I know you're going to be there, right? And it takes that kind of courage. And Moses had that, amen. And so God has taught us, and we reviewed last week all these lessons that we've gone through over the past few months, and we just thank God for them, amen. Of looking at Moses and learning about not only him but his relationship with God. And his relationship with people. And one thing I love about the Bible, God doesn't sugarcoat it. He shows people in the at their best, but he also shows them at their worst.
Yeah.
So guess what? That allows us to realize that even in our we might mess up and miss it or whatever, God can still use us,
Yeah.
And we're still qualified with God's hands on us to still be leaders. Amen. In various capacities. So we praise God for that. Moses wasn't perfect by any means, but no one in the Bible is except for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so we praise God for that. So let's pray tonight. Amen. Praise God. We come to the end of the Bible study. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Moses. Moses, for living your life before us. Gives us inspiration. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because sometimes we can mess up too, Moses. Sometimes we hit rocks too. God tells us to speak to a rock, we hit it. So we can mess up too.
Amen.
But we can also be close to God if we just humble ourselves as he did. Amen. So let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks on tonight. We thank you, God, for the study that you have brought us through and the things that you have taught us over the past few weeks and months. God, we're praying that you will bring to our remembrance, O God, those things that you have deposited in us that, Father God, that you will nurture the word that has been sown into our spirit. And that, Father God, that we will continue to walk in the revelation that you have given us. Father, continue to work on us and change us. Transform us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We yield unto you and pray that you will continue to do your work and bring it to completion on that day of Christ. And Father God, we bless you and praise you for all of it in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm praying right now you'll bless everyone under the sound of my voice,
yes,
and you continue to give them revelation, inspiration, insight, and wisdom on all the things that we have learned over the past several months. And Father, I pray now that as we prepare to leave, that God, that you will guide us safely home in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, just protect each one of us as we travel, O God. And Father, allow us to arrive home safely with no harm, evil, or danger coming our way. And Father, we bless you and praise your glorious name for being so faithful to do it. We give you the praise right now, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship with Minister Jeff Fennell, his pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with him.